you have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes too when you donate now at laist.com/sweeps.
Amidst the ruins of Berlin, trees are in bloom as they have never been. Sometimes at night, you feel in all your sorrow a perfume as of a sweet tomorrow.
It's Film Week on LAist 89.3. I'm Larry Mantle. You're listening to a song from A Foreign Affair, directed and co-written by the great Billy Wilder. Marlene Dietrich singing in English, German, French, and Russian, reflecting the fact that Berlin was divided into four zones at that time. We're going to be talking about Billy Wilder and the tremendous impact of the films that he wrote and directed over his extensive career in Hollywood. Joseph McBride, film scholar and professor, is author of Billy Wilder, Dancing on the Edge, which is now out in paperback. Joe is professor at San Francisco State University, where he teaches film history and screenwriting. Joe, it's so good to have you back with us today on Film Week.
Yeah, Larry, it's wonderful to be with you. The first time we were together was back when I did my Frank Capra biography. We had a wonderful time in the studio, and it's nice to talk to you again.
I appreciate it. Well, Wilder, of course, with an incredible body of work during his career, Double Indemnity, arguably the greatest of the film noirs, The Lost Weekend, A Foreign Affair, Sunset Boulevard, Ace in the Hole, Stalag 17, Sabrina, The Seven-Year Itch, I mean, the Apartment, Some Like It Hot, Witness for the Prosecution. The list is incredible, but what stands out to me, Joe, is the diversity of Wilder's work, that he seemed so comfortable in so many different styles of films.
Yeah, that's true. And he told me that as much as he admired Alfred Hitchcock, he didn't want to do one kind of film. Like, Hitchcock was known for the suspense genre, and Wilder didn't like to be pigeonholed. And he was a guy with a very peripatetic sensibility, and his mind moved very fast. And he was called the racing reporter when he was a newspaper reporter. And so he liked to go from genre to genre, and within genres, he would blend them. Like A Foreign Affair is an amazing film because it's a romantic comedy set in the ruins of Berlin. Who else would do that?
He lived into his mid-90s and reportedly was on his feet most of the time. I mean, this was a guy who even late in life had tremendous energy, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. He was, when you interviewed him in his office in Beverly Hills, he was moving around all the time, as you said. And he would do that with his writing collaborators, Charles Brackett and I.L. Diamond. He would be the guy who was pacing back and forth with a riding crop or a cane in his hand. And when he worked with Raymond Chandler, that was one of the things that drove Chandler crazy, that Wilder was waving the stick around. But he was, his mind went a mile a minute. He was one of the best interviews. Did you ever get to interview him?
I didn't. I so wish I would. I've heard him, of course, interviewed in many documentaries. And so I have a sense of him from that, but I never got to talk with him, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a good interview by Volker Schlondorf, the German director, a three-hour interview. There's an American DVD called Billy Wilder Speaks, which is cut down, but it's still vastly entertaining. I'd recommend that. And Michel Simont did a wonderful documentary on Wilder as well.
Let's talk about his formative years. He, like other creative people who had to flee Europe because he was Jewish and because of the Holocaust, he lived in Vienna, so had influences of this tremendous artistic center of Europe. But mm-hmm. Share with us how he made his way to the United States.
Well, yeah, I'm very interested, as I've been a journalist myself since 1960, and I met him on the set of The Front Page, his newspaper film. And he was a newspaper man from age 20 in Vienna, and then he wanted to go to Berlin, which was the big center of culture in those days, in the 20s, and it was extremely exciting and had all kinds of newspapers and magazines. And he wrote human interest stories, and there's a collection that Noah Eisenberg has put together of some of the best of them. His best journalistic piece was a three-part series on being a tea dancer, which was dancing with ladies for tips at a hotel in Berlin. It would make a wonderful movie. But he wrote films in Germany for a while, but he was very savvy, and he could see the writing on the wall when Hitler was rising to power, and he got out of there very fast, went to France, made a film, and then he fortunately got a job in America writing a film, but his visa ran out after 6 months and he had to go to Mexico to try to get back in the US, and a very sympathetic assistant consul let him back in and told him, write some good ones. And he got into the US permanently in mid-1930s, and became very fond of America. And he said the best thing about America is the Supreme Court. I don't think he would feel that way today, but he was a very liberal-minded guy, and he liked the freedom in America.
We're talking about the great writer and director Billy Wilder, Dancing on the Edge, Joseph McBride's critical study of Billy Wilder and his career. It's now out in paperback. Joe, Ernst Lubitsch, the great director who preceded Wilder in coming to the United States, was a big influence on Wilder. And in fact, he had a motto up in his office that was representative of that. What did Wilder say about Lubitsch's influence on him?
Right. He had this sign on his wall painted by Saul Steinberg, was, how would Lubitsch do it? And he always looked at that, and he said, I never wrote one page without thinking about my mentor, Ernst Lubitsch. Lubitsch, when he h hired Wilder and Charles Brackett to write Ninotchka, that was the turning point in Wilder's career. He was foundering a bit in Hollywood in the 30s, but within 6 years, he was writing this classic film, and it made him an A-list screenwriter. And he always, Lubitsch, I did a book on him called How Did Lubitsch Do It? Lubitsch was very oblique and subtle, and he would think of clever ways to get around cliches. He hated cliches, and so he would tell a story with one or two images or a little sequence, silent, often a silent sequence, because he began in silent films. And Wilder emulated Lubitsch's way of storytelling, but he said, I never quite could do it the Lubitsch way. Nobody could do it like Lubitsch. Although I think that the best of Wilder's Lubitschian films is an underrated film, Avanti, 1972, with Jack Lemmon and Juliette Mills. It's just a wonderful, delightful film about two people in the modern day kind of reenacting their parents' romance. And it's kind of a very conscious throwback to the
Yeah.
Lubitschian style.
Wilder has a number of his films on the National Film Registry at the Library of Congress. The first of them, chronologically, is the great noir film Double Indemnity, starring Fred McMurray and Barbara Stanwyck. This takes us back to 1944. This is the scene in which the two lead characters meet.
Is Mr. Dietrichson in?
Who wants to see him?
My name is Neff, Walter Neff.
If you're selling something.
Look, it's Mr. Dietrichson I want to talk to. And it's not magazine subscriptions.
Listen, Mr. Dietrichson is not in.
How soon do you expect him?
He'll be home when he gets here, if that's any help to you.
What is it, Nettie? Who is it?
It's for Mr. Dietrichson.
I'm Mrs. Dietrichson. What is it?
How do you do, Mrs. Dietrichson? I'm Walter Neff, Pacific All Risk.
Pacific All what?
The Pacific All Risk Insurance Company. It's about some renewals on the automobiles. I've been trying to contact your husband for the past 2 weeks, but he's never in his office.
Is there anything I can do?
And of course,
Whoever.
she is. There is something she can do. Joe, just real briefly, because we need to break, but that film, what did Wilder say about his approach, particularly with the casting of Fred McMurray?
Well, McMurray was a sort of all-American guy, saxophone player, and but he had this kind of innocence and boyishness, but he was also a wisecracker. and a slick operator kind of guy. And Wilder related to that, and he wrote a screenplay that McMurray was in the 30s called Champagne Waltz, which is forgotten, but it was the first recognizably Billy Wilder character on the American screen. And he was great in Double Indemnity. He wasn't the first choice, but he was just perfect because he was ensnared by this the ultimate femme fatale, Barbara Stanwyck. And then Wilder gave him another amazing role in The Apartment in 1960, where he played a real heel, a real bastard, and he had to talk him into it. But he McMurray realized that Wilder penetrated into some, dark section of his soul and brought out some great nuances in his personality. And some woman, when McMurray was at Disneyland, because he starred in Disney films, some woman came up to him after The Apartment and hit him over the head with a purse and said, "Why are you making movies like that?"
Billy Wilder, Dancing on the Edge, book out in paperback from Joseph McBride, who also teaches film at San Francisco State University, author of other important books about film. We'll continue our conversation on Wilder on Film Week when we come back in just 1 minute.
Imagine if you could charge your electric vehicle at the places you already love to eat, shop, and play. Whether you're at the movies, on your weekly grocery trip, or running errands at your local mall, Volta EV charging stations are built around your day-to-day and located in your community and nationwide. All you have to do is check in, plug in, and go about your day. It's EV charging made convenient. Download the Volta app to find your new favorite place to charge.
Look, Baxter, I'm not stupid. I know everything that goes on in this building, in every department, on every floor, every day of the year.
You do?
In 1957, we had an employee here, name of Fowler. He was very popular, too. It turned out he was running a bookie joint right in the actuarial apartment, tying up our switchboard, using our IBM machines to figure the odds. So the day before the Kentucky Derby, I called in the vice squad, and we raided the 13th floor.
The vice squad?
That's right.
Well, what's that got to do with me? I'm not running any bookie joints.
Just what kind of a joint are you running,
sir?
Jack Lemmon, Fred McMurray from the 1960 romantic comedic drama The Apartment, directed and co-written by Billy Wilder. We're talking with Joseph McBride about his book, Billy Wilder, Dancing on the Edge. And Joe was just talking about the casting against type of Fred McMurray, both in Double Indemnity and then later in The Apartment. Joe, share with us what the writing approach was of Wilder, because his dialogue just snaps.
Yeah, that was written with I.E.L. Diamond, who was his invaluable collaborator in the later part of his career. And they had a very simpatico relationship. Wilder was always had an accent, and he was a bit self-conscious about his English, even though there was nobody in I've ever met who was wittier than Billy Wilder, and he was famous for his ability to, at a moment's notice, to give wonderful quotes and hilarious comments. But he liked to have somebody who was more comfortable in English, and Diamond had come from Romania as a child, but when you come as a child, you adapt to the language more easily. And but they just had a worldview that was similar. Diamond called Billy Wilder a disappointed romantic, and I think that was a real key to what I was writing about, because Wilder is often considered a cynic or a misanthropist or a misogynist, and I don't think those things are true. I think he was a guy who had a tough veneer that he had developed because of his being in exile several times over, fleeing Hitler, being a newspaper guy in the 1920s, and surviving Hollywood for a long time. But he was, as Jack Lemmon said, underneath he was a softie. He was a very warm-hearted guy. And The Apartment is a great film. I asked Wilder, when I gave him the Career Achievement Award from the LA Film Critics, I said, "What do you think is your best film?" And he said, "The Apartment." And I said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, because it's my best mixture of comedy and drama." And he said, "That was the mixture I was going for my whole life."
Another film, of course, on the National Film Registry, Sunset Boulevard, starring Gloria Swanson and William Holden, and its look at the underbelly of Hollywood. But even in Sunset Boulevard and the acerbic commentary about Hollywood there, there was poignance to that film and dark humor as well. That tonally was an extremely sophisticated mix, Joe.
Yeah, the mix is key to him, you know, as we were talking about. He blended genres, and he it's a love story with Nancy Olson, who's wonderful, and she's still with us, delightful yeah. lady. She was this wholesome young lady who was a story editor, and when I was in Wisconsin, I thought she was a little too good to be true, but when I came out to Hollywood to be a screenwriter, I met a lot of story editors like that, and, you know, well-educated, idealistic young women, and there are people like that, and she's the counterbalance to William Holden's sordid relationship with Gloria Swanson, who also stirs your heart, you know, because she's a tragic character. When Andrew Lloyd Webber was doing the musical version, Wilder said it should be a grand opera because she's a dethroned queen, you know, there's a grandeur to her, and Holden is the patron saint of all screenwriters, that guy who's struggling to avoid going back to the copy desk in Ohio, and he's, you know, kind of reduced to being a gigolo. But it's a really honest look at Hollywood. Although I said to Wilder, it's like a documentary, and he said it's a Valentine. You know,
I guess that's one way to look at it. Beginning with a guy floating in the pool, and his body is narrating the story. We're talking with Joseph McBride, Billy Wilder, Dancing on the Edge, now out in paperback. Let's listen to this clip. This is one of my favorite Wilder films, and it's, I think, a little less well known. From 1951, Kirk Douglas stars as cynical reporter who's on the skids trying to regain a job at a major newspaper, and he spends a year in Albuquerque. Douglas's character Chuck Tatum has had enough in Ace in the Hole.
You know what's wrong with New Mexico, Mr. Wendell? Too much outdoors. Give me those 8 spindly trees in front of Rockefeller Center any day. That's enough outdoors for me. No subways smelling sweet sour. What do you use for noise around here? No beautiful roar from 8 million ants fighting, cursing, loving. No shows, no South Pacific. No chic little dames across a crowded bar. Worst of all, Herbie, no 80th floor to jump from when you feel like it.
Kirk Douglas in Ace in the Hole. Joe, your thoughts about that film and what Wilder said about it.
Well, I love that film. Being a newspaper guy myself, I can recognize the honesty of that portrait. I mean, obviously not all newspaper reporters are that corrupt, but there's a lot of lying and corruption in that business. And we're often lied to by the press. And, you know, Wilder wanted to be completely frank and honest. It's one of the most daring American films, and the public rejected it because it's also an attack on the American public for being gullible and wanting sensationalism. And Wilder, you know, read a review attacking it, and he was feeling bad, and he walked out of his office, and he saw a guy on the street who had just been hit by a car, and some photographer was taking his picture, and Wilder said to the photographer, "We got to call an ambulance and get help for this guy." And the photographer said, "You do it, buddy. I'm busy. I got to run, you know." And so he thought then, well, I told the truth. And, you know, that's one reason Wilder is called a cynic. And I once called him a cynic without thinking. And he said, "But if I'm a cynic, what adjective do you have for Peckinpah pictures?"
good. That's a very good point. Peckinpah, of course, directed The Wild Bunch, among a number of other films, with a great degree of cynicism and violence. Joe, thank you so much for coming on. I also loved your part of the book where you wrote about Wilder's interest in doing Schindler's List and all the back and forth with Spielberg over that, and then what Wilder thought of the final film. Thank you so much for joining us to talk about the paperback release of Billy Wilder, Dancing on the Edge. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, Larry, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks so much. Joseph McBride with us on Film Week. For our Film Week critics, I'm Larry Mantle. We look forward to having you with us next week for the next Film Week here on LAist 89.3. Have a terrific weekend.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.